Hockey talk. Hockey talk. Hockey talk.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, like, survive.
You got to shout out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
The Bruins.
Oh, boy.
The Bruins got a win, and as we maybe stumbled into, Road Razor is with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Our guy, Andrew Raycroft with Gresh and Fourier. Hello, Razor. How is lovely South Florida?
Good morning. Yeah, the Sawgrass Mills is nice. I'm easing my way into Road Razor, and we'll get a big win tonight, and then go from there.
I would like to know what Road Razor was really like, and what it meant back when you were just in the league and traveling from city to city. Meet me some Road Razor. Here we go. Hello, Edmonton. No, I'm back.
All business for you. There's not a lot of time, you know. The game, you gotta be dialed in every minute that you're on the road in professional sports. You know that.
Yeah. Plus, when you got a big Thursday night in Kamloops, I don't know if
there's an Applebee's on the corner. I'm sure.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. you would assume it closes early, but be that as it may, Razor, they did it. They did it by God. Somehow they did it. How did they do it?
They showed a lot of resiliency and a lot of mental toughness and a lot of good details. They really stuck to their game. We gave the Toronto Maple Leafs a lot of credit for their adjustments in the series. At 3-1, they looked like they had no idea how to play hockey, and they really turned it around. And it did take the Bruins a couple of games to figure that out. And I thought in Game 7 they had full control of their game, and of course, their big players came through all the way through that game, but especially in the end, and what a relief, right? Like, you could feel the relief in the building, in the city, and the hockey fans, and now you get to move on to the second round. And guys, I said it a lot, right? Like, how hard it is to get through one round, the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, with the intensity and everybody's 100% focus, and we saw that, and for them to get through it, I think it's huge for this new core of Bruins players.
Yeah, and Razor, I agree with you, because I felt like there was this burden that they were carrying around from last year, real or perceived. I felt like it was in the atmosphere, and how freeing is this for them to go into the next round without that burden attached to them?
I think it's massive. It feels massive. Of course, the players do look at it a little bit differently. When you're really in it, it's probably not quite as severe as us from the outside who don't have to play and can observe. But it deep down somewhere in all of them, it's freeing. It's a huge relief. I'm sure relief is the bigger word than excitement to have won that round. And it really does free them up going forward. And they can lean on that experience of going through and what they gained just from Game 7 alone. I think we're going to see it real early in this series.
Who do you think benefited the most from the win? Like, who the overall series win, who do you think benefited the most?
Well, I guess if I only had to pick one name, I'd say David Pastrnak. Just being able to score an OT winner in Game 7 adds the marquee player on the team, the marquee scorer, one of the top marquee scorers in the league. He continues to keep that reputation going. If I could use a few names, I would go Swayman, going 0-3 in Game 7. I think that's huge for him going forward to win that series the way he did, be as consistent as he was. Charlie McAvoy, Hampus Lindholm, his Game 7, to win a round here in Boston for the first time, I think that will change narrative on him. That great pass to Pastrnak and his goal, I think that changes his narrative a little bit going forward. So there's a few guys, but I think especially those big three names and how well they contributed in Game 7 will go a long way for how their perception is.
Our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft is down in Florida. Bruins Panther game one tonight. Razor all over it for us. Joins us here to break down game one and get ready for the series. Who out of the Toronto series played their way more into more minutes? Like our guy $10 Shake, who calls the show out in New York, said he was impressed with Mason Lowry. I know every time it seems like Justin Brazo is out there, good things happen. Are there some dudes who've maybe played their way into some consistent minutes against Florida?
Yeah, you just answered the question. Those two guys, Lowry and Brazo, the way those two played in Game 7, under the brightest of lights, on the biggest of stages in Game 7, for them to grow that way in front of us, to be able to take that and all that pressure and harness it and use it in a good, positive way, it is massive. I talked to Mason this morning here for the Nesson show tonight, and just how confident and what he took out of it, and how nervous he was playing his first. That was his first Game 7 he's ever played in his life, and for him to just go out and play like it was a normal Tuesday night is huge for him, for the Bruins organization going forward, and I think for this series, I mean, he's changed what the back end looks like going into Florida. If he can simplify and keep that and play hard in the defensive zone, but also skate through the neutral zone like he did in Game 7, it's a massive advantage for the Bruins. And then at Brazo, this we talked last year, the Florida Panthers, their physicality, how much they want to bang and forecheck. Brazo adds that size that we looked for, the length, and then the smarts in and around the small, dirty areas on the ice. So those two guys made themselves real NHLers, in my opinion, in Game 7.
So we're talking to boots on the ground, Raycroft, down in Florida, getting ready to call this game. What exactly are you doing, right? What network? Are you just doing stuff for Nesson?
Yeah, I'm working Nesson. So we're doing some pregame stuff before the game. So pregame on Nesson, 7 to 8, as usual. Crank out a little bit of intermission action as well, and then post game. So
okay.
Basically everything but the game stays the same. So tune in to Nesson for all the real coverage.
You and Jaffe with the 2-bedroom suite?
No, it's a solo suite, guys. I am
a big timer.
Plenty of room.
All his demands.
Yeah, that's right. Clothes will be on one side of the. Yeah, that's right. You got a rider. There you go. Yellow M&Ms good for you?
Did Montgomery save his job with that win? Maybe you don't know if it was in jeopardy or not, but if it was in jeopardy, do you think he? I don't want you to give away any secrets or any, you know, internal
I am way too far down the totem pole for knowledge like that. I think there would be, let's be honest, there's a lot of questions either way. I don't know if that actually comes to fruition, but there's certainly no reason to talk about that now. And if they had a loss 2-3-1 series, I think that's just inevitable in pro sports. So fortunately, we don't have to have that conversation today. That's the best part of my job, and them winning is we get to have fun again.
That's right. It's not about people being fired. It's about how do you handle the goalies and make sure that everyone stays engaged. I know that last round it turned into just going with Swayman. It feels like Swayman gets game one, but what's your read, Mr. Goalie, on the goalie situation and how you gotta keep Linus Ullmark still engaged in all of this?
Well, yeah, from my eye watching today, I felt like Swayman is going to get the start tonight. But Coach Montgomery talked afterwards and was asked that, and he said we had a plan in round one. We're going to stick to that plan here in round two. Both guys, the usual. So reading between all of those lines, I guess we see Ullmark in game two. If that is, the question is, and that's how he can answer it and still keep everyone in the air. The question is, was the plan just to rotate in the first two games of the entire playoffs, or was it to rotate each series, the first two games, and go from there? So he also talked about a lot of games coming up. They're playing every other night in this entire series. So you're getting 7 games now in 13 days on top of the game 7. So he talked about getting both guys in. So I don't know. I want to wait and see come what Wednesday morning. But my sense listening to that was that we're gonna see both guys here in this series.
Razor, how much rest is needed? Like, is it too much to ask a goalie to go, you know, every other day? Do they get more mentally and physically worn down than a normal player?
No, they don't. It's like everyone else, and I think that, you know, what you see in the playoffs is, and when you run a guy all the way through, is, you know, 90% of the games are good, and then everybody kind of has an okay game because they do get a little tired, a little mental fatigue, and it might be hard to get up as second round and third round comes on because playoff hockey doesn't feel the same. Now it just feels like what you've been doing for a month already. But most teams don't have another guy they can go to. So that's the kicker, is the Bruins are trying to find a way to use both goaltenders so they have a fresh goaltender every night. Most teams, the goalie's going to do it and he's going to get through, of course. They're pro athletes. Like, physically, it's not a problem, and you can make saves every night. It's just that if you can find that extra 1% or 2% within a series, say, later in the second round or later in the third round, that's an advantage. And that's what the Bruins are really trying to capture, is having the freshest of fresh every night in goal.
Razor, the difference between Florida and Toronto, I think, is pretty significant in terms of their style of hockey. Number one, am I right or wrong on that? And then number two, if Florida is that different from Toronto, how? And how do the Bruins then need to respond?
So, yes, if you had asked me this question 10 days ago, I would have said, absolutely, they're so different. It's not even – but the way the Leafs played games 5, 6, and 7 is very similar to how Florida's going to play tonight. Florida's a better hockey team. Florida's a deeper group of forwards. They're a deeper group on the back end, and their goalie is better than whatever the Leafs are going to throw. But the style that the Maple Leafs adjusted to in game 5 – with clogging the middle of the ice in the defensive zone, blocking a million shots, getting in the way of everything, and then offensively dumping every puck in, getting in on forecheck, making the Bruins go 200 feet, making them chip pucks off the glass is what Florida does. So I think, and watching the last three games, I think it really benefits the Bruins having played that way for three games and having to fight through that and getting one shot on goal in the first period in game 6 and not scoring until 9 minutes left in game. Like, that's the kind of game this is going to be tonight and in this series. So I think in hindsight, we're going to see that the Leafs did the Bruins a favor in the second round by switching and adjusting their style and not just free-flowing, because I think the Bruins are ready for it a little bit more than what they were last season because of the way the Leafs played the last three games.
Yeah, so there's nothing like – so Florida isn't sitting there going, oh, wow, I love how the Toronto, adjusted and played them. It really forced the Bruins to struggle. This is kind of what they're doing already. So they just need to do it better? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, exactly. Again, Florida's going to do it better than the Leafs did. But what I'm saying is the Bruins will be able to adjust quicker to that because they weren't playing 5-4 games and they weren't going up and down the ice and trading 2-on-1 chances that they won't get against Florida. So just the mindset of sticking to it and that resiliency that we talked about and chipping pucks out of the zone, that mindset doesn't have to change because they're going to get a lot of that tonight.
Razor, Brandon Carlo, according to Jim Montgomery, welcomed a bebe. But he is not with the team. Don't know how all that works. What is kind of the, I don't know, help us out with the protocol on all of this. Like, you know, you can't control when the baby's going to come, obviously, but he can get on a plane and be in South Florida by, 4 o'clock if they want Carlo in the lineup. What's your read on all this?
Yeah, my guess is he's playing tonight. My guess is, like you said, he's going to be on a plane, or if he isn't already right now, or is already here now and just didn't skate this morning. My guess is, it sounded like everything went really well yesterday for him and his wife and his family, and you can get on and work off one game adrenaline. We all who have had kids, you know the boost you get when that happens, and how, you know, of course, perspective, but just how excited you are about life, just how happy you are about life, and when and how easy it is to play hockey when stuff like this happens. So my guess is that he didn't commit to it because, I guess, who knows, but my sense is he would love to have had a baby yesterday and come win a hockey game today.
Have you ever had a close kid call during your career where you had to either cut it close or maybe miss a game or something like that?
No, we did a pretty decent job planning, maybe not on purpose, but my son was born end of July, and the twins were born real early, but that was end of April, so no hockey miss, no pagers for the trainers to keep an eye on.
Pagers, and, I love it.
Yeah, right. Remember that? Remember, guys, yep. About the pagers on the side.
Wait like, a minute. Oh, so hang on a second. Had your wife gone into labor and someone had to send a code to a pager on someone on the training staff?
911.
Yeah, that, like, what would the code be to let this guy know that, oh my God, Mrs. Raycroft is about to spit out a kid?
No, it would be an absolute urgent 911. Get off the. My wife would expect me there no matter what, and I would be there no matter what. So certainly, Stanley Cup non-existent. Other than that, a regular season game, no, you can miss that for birth.
So that would be the only dispensation your wife would give you, is that if it were big game, cup final, okay, I can let it slide. I'll handle this one.
Yeah, exactly. Any of the other variety of games, she would certainly tell me that I'm not that important to the team, and you can be here to do this.
Forey, did you ever have any close kid calls or anything like that during a season?
Never.
You
were all planned, pretty much knew exactly when it was going to happen.
Because you tried.
I just like the fact that I always wanted to miss camp.
Yeah, there you go.
I wanted an excuse to miss camp. Like, you know, camp was like way too long. It was like, well, geez, I just had a child. But even back then, it was like, well, okay, you've been gone 24 hours. You need to get back. We're going over red zone.
Now you'd be screwed. They're building that Chuck E. Cheese down there after that survey they did.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have like a birthing center in the new addition renovation at Gillette.
There you go. You can run it at halftime.
Yeah.
You can hold your wife's hand at halftime. Just hold it in, man.
Between
there we
series.
Go. Oh, my goodness. Razor, have fun down in South Florida. Is golf booked?
Ooh, there's a few lines in the water for tomorrow, possibly. I'm going to see. I got, you know, again, I'm all business, so I got to get some work done, possibly. But there are a lot of hockey guys down here, and there's been some invitations, let's say.
Okay, hold on, if I may. When you say lines in the water, you're really fishing for someone to hook you up, right? When you say there's been invitations, it's you inviting yourself?
Well, there's been, hey, maybe we'll pull this off after I maybe initiated that I'm coming down. Like, are you guys around? What's going on a Tuesday in Florida? Is there anything to do? Maybe those kind of texts were sent, and
okay.
I'm waiting for the response. But, yes, I'm certainly the nicest country club wins. Let's say that. Let's put it that way.
I love it.
I like it.
Between Razor and Lou, we're learning a lot about this whole country clubs on the road deal. Hey, Razor, thanks, man. We appreciate it. You gave us 20 minutes. Can't thank you enough. We'll talk to you soon.
It's always my pleasure. Have fun watching tonight.